Welcome to Data Tsunami, a podcast from Atempo, leading manufacturers of data management solutions. Each month, we will discuss the challenges facing content creators and IT managers today with the overabundance of data, how to manage it, how to protect it, how to migrate it, move it, archive it, sync it. Our guests include product managers, data evangelists, end users, and systems integrators. So join us for the Data Tsunami. On this episode of the Data Tsunami podcast from Atempo, Mike Oakes, Senior Pre-Sales Engineer for Atempo, and David Chapa, Head of Competitive Intelligence for Cumulo, will discuss business continuity and disaster recovery.
There's always been a lot of discussion about the differences between disaster recovery and data protection, data recovery. I've done a lot of talks, a lot of trainings on this in the past, and I've come down to this one little statement. And when I look at disaster recovery, it really is a process where data protection or backup is a function. And if you think about that, kind of you let that kind of play out in your mind, then you can see that there's definitely this process behind disaster recovery, because you are having a documented set of steps that you have to follow. What's nice about data protection solutions is you have a solution come in and you can set up your policies, you know what you're backing up, and you know what you're recovering. Now, both are very critical in an organization, in an environment. You have to have both in many cases due to compliance and governance requirements. But from a disaster recovery perspective, the key differences here is when you have what I call a business interruption, you'll go to your data protection solution, you'll recover a file, maybe it's a volume, but you might have a major catastrophe. And when you have a catastrophe, you have to look at what defines a disaster for us. And by the way, you certainly don't want to do this in the midst of the catastrophe, right? This is all the pre-planning. And so when I look at disaster recovery, there's a predetermined amount of time that you will allow this catastrophe or this business interruption to go before you have to what we call declare a disaster. And that might be 1 hour. It might be 2 hours. It might be 3 hours. It all depends on your own organization. But once you declare, then you put into execution mode the DR process. And now you can see where I'm getting that philosophical approach, where DR becomes a process, because now it's time to go down your call tree. It's time to find out, you know, if this catastrophe, is it a facilities required disaster, or is it to say a data disaster? And who do we have to call and what do we have to do? And the end result is you're going to be driving into that function of data protection to recover those volumes, those files, that application, to get to a certain point in time where you can then say, okay, we are back, we're operational. That's the continuity part of business continuity, is ensuring that you do have the ability to maintain a continuity of operations for your organization. Now, every organization is different. And, you know, I've heard lots of people say, well, you know, disaster recovery is something that will fit every organization. It's like one size fits all. That's not necessarily true, right? You've got to look at what's right for your organization. You might have a very in-depth disaster recovery plan. You might have a very short, swift disaster recovery plan. It depends on your organization. It depends on what level you're going to. And Mike, I know you've done a lot of this work. You've talked with customers about disaster recovery. You know, that one size fits all is not something that we necessarily see all the time, correct?
No, not at all. I mean, most of the time it's, you know, one size doesn't fit any. And it's simply because one business requirement is completely different from the other. SMB versus large versus Fortune 500. They all have different return times. They all have different storages and different locations. So every process, to your point, needs to be tailored in some cases to meet those SLAs and those business recovery requirements.
You're absolutely right. It's a matter of understanding what the core function is of an organization. And so when I would Correct. Consult with clients and I would talk to them about DR, I wouldn't ask about how many servers they have, how many applications they have. I want to find out what's the core mission to your organization? What does your company do that keeps all these lights on and keeps everyone employed? Now let's look at what supporting systems help that mission be successful. And then once you do that, then you can start looking at how do you plan out your disaster recovery process. Because it then gets to the nitty-gritty. And so we don't have to worry about, you know, Joe's server under his desk that doesn't do anything for us, but we may have it in a backup plan, but it's not going to be part of our disaster recovery plan, right? So going down those steps, I think, are pretty critical. What are some of the things that you have talked to customers about from a disaster recovery and business continuity perspective that I think our listeners would like to hear?
Yeah, so a lot of it comes down to your point. What does the underlying infrastructure look like? Because who's where, right? And what systems or what data is critical to get back first? Because somebody can just say, I want everything. Well, that's great. I can't pull you back, you know, 7 petabytes in an hour, right? What's the critical business elements that have to come back first? And then from there, it's where do the different resources lie for utilizing in that recovery plan? Is some cloud, is some disk, is some tape? And if what's where, how long is my return time for it? Because coming from cloud could be quick, could be days, could be hours. So understanding, to your point, the SLA for the customer, that service level requirement, return to, you know, functionality is a big one. Some can be a day. Some say, you know, I can afford to be down a day, you know, just get me everything back off tape. Others say, I can't afford to be down at all. They need a complete other site they can run on in the case of a failure. So understanding those business requirements, to your point, understanding where all the resources reside, really comes into play building that process you're talking about.
And I think you nailed on the key element of disaster recovery here is, you know, if someone says, I want everything back or I need everything back, that's not a realistic plan, right? That's not a plan, that's hope. And as we know, correct, hope is not a strategy. So I think, you know, you're looking at recovery, looking at the mission of the organization, what are the top server platforms or the applications, you know, I would say the applications, the data, the platforms that you have to recover to make sure the mission is going to be underway.
Yeah, understand that infrastructure, to your point, right? What's important, what's not.
Right. What's important, what's not, and then what order? What's the order that you have to recover all this in? And I think that's part of the process of discovery when you're creating a disaster recovery plan. So you need to have, ask the questions. I think it's a hard thing for IT to do sometimes too. Oftentimes I hear people say, well, you know, IT, we don't have a seat at the table, that table. And they always put quotes around table when they say that. I think more so today, IT has an opportunity to sit at that table because more and more, CIOs are relying on, their IT partners who are in the field, in the trenches, to help them with decision-making and solution-making, right? And so, yeah, IT does have an opportunity to sit there and ask those hard questions of the business unit managers, the ones that run the mission of the organization. How long can we be down? That's a great question to ask. Because if they say, I can't be down, then guess what? Our investment profile is going to shift dramatically. If I can be down for 4 hours, okay, that's going to change the way we look at how we acquire a solution to support our 4-hour SLA, to recovery to operations. So it all is a matter of asking all those questions and getting reasonable answers. Again, if you are in an organization, a company, maybe you're financial, maybe you're trading, maybe you're doing, you know, something that's high transaction based, you really can't afford to be down. Well, then again, that investment profile for your disaster recovery solution and plan is going to be significantly different than a smaller, medium-sized business who maybe is, doing some manufacturing. And they say, well, look, we can actually afford to be down for 4 hours. There was a dairy plant in Wisconsin who said we cannot be down for more than an hour. And I never understood that. But they had data that had to be uploaded to a parent company, right? The company was actually sourcing all of their dairy products. with all the vitals of the product itself. So they couldn't be down. It was that important, right? So it's all based on the core business and what you have to get done and accomplish from a DR perspective. And again, it gets back to having a solution that is a very strong data protection solution so you could actually do the recovery. Because without a good solution to do your backup, you can't do a recovery. And Mike, you and I, we talked about Atempo and the solution you guys have. I think that's something you gotta share with the listeners right now about your solution and kind of those pillars you guys stand on.
Right. So I want to just jump back if I can for 1 second. You talk about, you know, the IT staff and asking the right questions. It's also the team that you're having and come and help, like an Atempo from our standpoint. You need a team that can come in, understand, ask the right questions, understand what really needs to be looked at from a criticality standpoint. Because starting with someone who's a novice at this, it's one of those things, you know, you get what you pay for. Buy cheap, buy twice. You talk with the wrong organization, you're going to get the wrong output. So
like the Fram Oil guy says you can pay me now or you can pay me later.
Right. Pay me later. Right. Right.
Right.
So, but that being said, those four pillars we're talking about, Atempo has been around, God, almost 30 years now. And we started out, like, our heritage started in archive and backup. We've been doing that. People remember Atempo Digital Archive. We've been doing that archive and backup now in the media space back in the 90s. But we kind of morphed that solution, revolved that solution, so to speak, to add some more pillars, as we call them. So archive is one pillar, backup's another. But now this day and age, coupled with the need to do archive and backup, you have this new infrastructure, new technologies coming down the pike you need to be able to take advantage of. Be it, you know, I want to take my old storage and move it to something new, collapsing an infrastructure. The big one now with COVID and everything that's going on is, how do I keep dissimilar, you know, storages used by different people in different locations, keep them in sync, right? So they can take advantage of their workflows, take advantage of their storage. So that's where Myriad's evolved into. So that the migration piece we have to come off old storages, right? Take something old, put on something new, but moving all the archive, all the permissions, so to speak, all the attributes. But coupled with that, synchronization and replication to keep those distant organizations in sync. And then once you have that underlying data infrastructure in there, how do you keep it backed up? Hardy, to your point, DR and archive, right? Backup and archive. So you have to have those tools as well to actually all take advantage of, we call it basically building that comprehensive data strategy or data platform, which allows, you know, dissimilar infrastructures into a heterogeneous architecture. But coupled with that, there's one thing that we talk about, the pillars, that isn't known. And I think it really speaks to when you're talking about a proper planning, is you have to understand the data landscape and where all that stuff, I'll call it stuff, where that data resides. And that comes down the pike with analytics. And analytics allows you to take a look at your whole environment and understand what's hot, what's not, what's old, what hasn't been archived, what needs backup, what needs protection, which is now going to be the fifth pillar, so to speak, in our four-pillar architecture, which comes out later this year.
So I think that the importance, again, like you're saying, the importance of having a structured solution for protecting your data environment, critically important, right?
Absolutely.
We hear a lot of people talk about this 3-2-1 rule, right? You've heard about that, where you have three copies of the data, one primer and two backups, and two different types of media offsite. That's super important. That's a discipline. It's a method and approach that we look at from a data protection perspective. One fun fact here: I don't know if you know this, but it was a digital photographer that came up with that 3-2-1 method. He lost enough of his high resolution photos because he didn't have backups, and so he came up with this whole idea somewhere back in 2008, 2009. So just a little fun fact that you probably didn't know. But the point is, again, if you don't have an established solid practice for your data protection side, then you can't expect a solid execution delivery of your disaster recovery side. And so foundationally speaking, the backup is important. I've been doing backup for a long time. I've been in data protection for, you know, 30 years. And that has always been the most important thing. If we don't have the knowledge that we've had successful backups, then we don't have the confidence that we can actually recover from a disaster. So that's important. I think you talked about analytics. You talked about insight. If you don't have the knowledge, you can't have the confidence. And that's what I see this relationship between Cumulo and Atempo has is, hey, we give you both. We give you both the knowledge and the confidence because you guys have fully integrated with our API. And so you get full insight, right? We have full analytics and a dashboard that customers can look at for our storage, but then you have full integration to our API and you can do anything that we can do from your platform. So not only do you have the knowledge because you got that tight integration, but now you have the confidence as well because you have a platform like Cumulo that's a high performance and a very reliable platform. You've got a platform from Atempo that provides you that same level of stability and insight into your entire data protection ecosystem, which then allows you to build on top of that this highly prized disaster recovery plan, which many organizations need, like I said earlier, because of compliance and governance and such. So those things are critically important in my book.
You're listening to Data Tsunami from Atempo. This episode is brought to you by Atempo partner Cumulo, the leading file data platform for multi-cloud environments, providing unrivaled freedom, control, and real-time visibility for file data at massive scale. Fortune 500 companies, major film studios, and the largest research facilities in the world trust Cumulo to help them innovate with their mission-critical digital files. Visit Cumulo.com for more information.
It's funny that you mentioned some of that because if you think about both tools, both ours and yours, right? We're empowering, so to speak, right? Those IT administrators, those corner office personnel to understand, to your point, not just their data, right? But the workflow itself, but also taking advantage of that infrastructure because you may have things in different locations that are only used from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. But from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., they're idle. Well, how do I take more advantage of that? Maybe I'm using it for cache, for an archive, or a DR. Maybe I'm using it as an online DR in case of a failure somewhere else. So it really gets into the play of how business organizations start thinking about, to your point, not just disaster recovery, but those key business metrics, right? What stays where, when, how hot, why is it hot, why is it not hot? Why am I storing 14 copies, to your point, instead of 3? Why am I wasting space? All of that comes into place in that process and planning phase, right? And then how you implement it, to your point, it's got to be a clear, defined process. I've seen too many times people think they have a process, and the big mistake is they wrote it on paper, but they never went and tested it for real world. And that's important. Just because you designed it doesn't mean it's going to work. You've got to test it as well. And that's an important key factor in the whole process.
You know what? You're right. How many times have you made a paper airplane with your kids and you file the YouTube video and it looks absolutely perfect and you show it to them? It's like, wow, it looks like a plane. And then you try to fly it and it goes and crashes and burns. And that's how a lot of disaster recovery plans end up, right? It looks really good on paper, but we're not going to test it. And we're going to test it when we have a disaster. You can't do that, right? And you've got to review that plan, I would say, every 6 months. And if you can, if it's within your allowance, man, test that plan every 6 months as well, because things change in an environment. So, you know, you talked about data being in different places. Let's talk about something that can exacerbate this whole situation, and that's cloud. Everyone has a cloud strategy today. I have not talked with anyone yet that does not have a cloud strategy. So they're either moving to the cloud, have moved to the cloud, or have gone 100% in the cloud. Majority of the customers that I have talked to are in this hybrid model, where they have some up in the cloud and some on premises. I think one of the things that I thought was really cool is how you are able to take full advantage of the cloud, and especially with our API, because a customer's experience with Qumulo is the same experience on premises as it is in any of the major cloud vendors. We support Azure, AWS, and GCP. And because our software is fully disaggregated from the hardware, they are going to have that same experience no matter where it sits. So the portability is in the customer's hands and in their favor. And because that API is still fully functional and 100% available, you guys, once you tie into our storage in AWS or Azure or GCP, all the magic still happens there for a customer, right?
Yeah, actually, nothing really changes to your point. The experience stays the same. You know, they may have a slower connection offsite than on-prem, but the actual user, I call it the user experience, right? That's the thing you don't want to impact, whether it's your software or our software. That user experience has to maintain the same, and you do not want to impact production, right? Because that's the name of the game. Like most companies, their data and their people are the lifeblood of the organizations. So making sure they can access it, making sure it's protected, making sure it's a seamless transition, should it be on-prem or should it be in the cloud, doesn't matter to that user. They just want their data. And that's right. What's important. And that's what I think both of us bring here, is that ease of use coupled with the ability to like you said, collaborate to give them that great user experience.
Right. And I think that's what it's about, especially today. So if I look at a lot of the research, and I look at research all the time, a lot of additional headcount inside of IT, that's actually a declining number over time, right? And we have a lot more, we have more generalists yep. in IT and less specialists. And so it's in the customer's best interest to deploy solutions that are radically simple, that are intuitive to use, and doesn't require a whole lot of ramp time. And I think that's the benefit of this joint solution. We think about, you know, Qumulo, that's we talk about that all the time, you know, radical simplicity. And with the insights and the confidence, those things, I was a backup admin for a long time. And there were some days where I didn't have the confidence to say we can recover if we needed to, because I knew we missed some backup jobs. Because I didn't have all the insights. I didn't have all the analytics. And, you know, having that confidence in IT, especially when you are a generalist and your boss comes up and says, hey, are you 100% confident we could actually, you know, do execute our disaster recovery plan if we had to be able to say absolutely is a great place to be, right? As an IT admin. And I think that's what we bring to customers today is that ability to say, yes, I'm confident in my solution. We can do this. And again, DR is, you know, beyond the foundational function of data protection, this process is, you know, super critical to any organization.
Right. No, and you know, one other thing too that gets missed a lot of times is the cost with some of that stuff going into the cloud. Right. And even we have, you know, Qumulo in the cloud and so forth, there's still going to be some kind of egress coming out. And what we do working with conjunction with your platform is you can actually set up what we call an approval process. Maybe it's people recovering something from their DR or their archive they put up there, and it's a petabyte in size, but they really don't need a petabyte. They don't realize they click that retrieve button, it's going to bring it all back. Well, oh my God, the guy in the corner office just went, I just paid for what? Because you needed four files? So you can have an approval process in place where admins can be in the middle where they don't have to go do the work, but they can say, you know what, this user is asking for four files. That's great. This user is asking for a petabyte. No, stop this. Let's go find out what's going on or disallow it until such time as somebody understands what's needed. So you're not paying these exorbitant costs and you're not wasting your infrastructure, your bandwidth, other storage, because you got to pull a petabyte back somewhere if you're doing it, right? Oh, don't waste your storage space as well.
Well, I think another thing that brings up for me when I hear that is, you know, if someone's trying to restore that much data, maybe it's not the end user. Maybe it's someone that's hacking in. Maybe it's ransomware. Maybe, you know,
possible.
There's a number of things, right? So to have that approval process, I think is a great value add for the customers to have. And if they call up, you know, Joe or Sally, who are trying to restore that data, and they find out that Joe and Sally have been on vacation, well, that's a red flag. You know, let's lock this thing down. There's something going on. So again, having insights into what's happening inside the ecosystem is you know, kind of important.
Yeah. But also tracking all that too. I mean, we talk about analytics where, you know, there's some analytics you can do. And I use this example. I talk to people a lot. You know, if something's happening every Tuesday at 3 o'clock, that's planned. You don't really need to know about that. It's when it doesn't happen. Or to your point, something nefarious happens. We've never seen a petabyte pullback. Why is a petabyte pullback happening? Send a message, flag somebody. But also couple that to think about, you need some forensics behind it as well. So audit logging also is an important thing. Any data that gets modified in the system, you should know about it. You have to have audit logs. And all of that information comes together to build that cohesive platform we're talking about for DR, for any actual user usage. So that's a critical one that sometimes gets missed.
Exactly. And that's what customers get with Cumulo too, from our dashboard. We have, I mean, customers go to our website and they can look at all the cool things we provide beyond Cumulo Core, and there's not one option they have to pay for. So they're going to get all the visibility, the analytics, the insight. Everything is going to be available to them. So they'll know who modified that file. They'll know who moved, you know, those terabytes or petabytes of data. And that will gives the customer, like you said, empowers the customer. I like using the combination of insight and confidence, because you know what? There's been so many times over the years that I know IT guys that didn't have the confidence in their environment. Yeah, we spent, you know, X amount of dollars on this, but didn't have the confidence because it didn't buy the other feature to give them the insight. And I think between, you know, both of our solutions, we're providing that level of assurity to the customers.
Giving the customer or giving the end user all of the tools, right? Both organizations have the same philosophy, right? We, with our analytics tool, there's no cost with it either. It comes with the Myriad package. And it comes down to that, what I said before, we talked about empowering, but understanding the data landscape, because you can't manage what you don't know. You can't plan for what you can try to plan for what you don't know, but having all the insights, all the tools greatly, I call it, it's from that Dark Territory movie you ever heard, you know, chance favors a prepared mind, right? If you're not prepared, chances are you're going to fail. And that's just, I think that's the philosophy of both organizations. That's what I see personally. So,
And like I said earlier, you know, hope is not a strategy. And I know there's been a lot of that over the years. And I think if you look at, you know, both products independently, you see, like we're just talking about, the great value, right? I talked about Cumulo value, talked about Atempo's value. And now when you have that tight integration via API, you've really got a powerhouse combination that can really deliver and help customers really create this ecosystem where they can recover and where they do have insight, they do have the knowledge. And again, they have that confidence that, okay, we're not only protected, but I also know that if we declare disaster, and we didn't get a chance to go really deep into this, but you know, I've done a 2-3 hour training on writing a disaster recovery plan. Declaration and a predetermined amount of time before that declaration are two things you got to really look at. But if you declare, then you have the confidence that you can recover, and you can recover on premises or you can recover in the cloud. And I think that's the message that I think customers need to take away from this, is you do have that ability to do one or the other, right? And, you know, recover in both on premises and the cloud.
That's important. And the one thing I'm gonna drop in here, and I know it's at the last minute, but you don't hear a lot anymore. Well, you start recently, or air gap protection. Because I could put it to the cloud, but you want to have a service or a provider that ensures, to your point, we talked about earlier, nefarious acts, somebody going to do something. Keeping data separated, the DR especially data, separated from the source, so someone can't nefariously take out both. And that's really important. Or having it in a read-only mode, and the ability of the appliance or our software or whatever to lock that down. So how do those, to your point, API working hand in hand, right? Understanding the workflow, understanding the requirements, but understanding the criticality of the data, because that's the critical, that's, I'm going to say it again, the critical thing here, right? You have to protect that data at all costs.
Because that data, you know, beyond, you know, people are number one. And then, you know, once you declare disaster and you identify your people are safe, then you execute your plan, getting that right. data back up so you can keep the mission afloat, you know, is important. Like I said, identify the mission of the organization. Once you do that, you can identify all the supporting cast members, applications, platforms, data, systems. And then you start creating a plan for how you recover this in what order. And then, you know, then you can say, okay, we can do this if we have the right combination of solutions. And that's why I think we're talking today about, you know, our two solutions being coupled together via that API integration really makes for a powerhouse solution.
I'd agree 100%.
You've been listening to Data Tsunami, a podcast from Atempo, leading manufacturers of data management solutions. If you like what you heard here, please come to our website, atempo.com, where you can follow our social media feeds as well as our blog and get every monthly episode of the Atempo podcast, Data Tsunami. If you'd like to suggest a topic for the show, please contact sarah.mason@atempo.com. Thanks for listening.